Welcome to the Monarch Experience Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Ancona. We're talking about the 2024 MLB baseball season preview. This is one of my favorite longstanding traditions that we get to do on this podcast. And as always, we are having Jeremy and Mason join us. And they are joining us with their brothers this year, Xander, who was on our episode last year, and Finn making his podcasting debut, brother of Mason. Make sure, though, that you're following us on social media, so you can tell us how we got all of our picks wrong. You can follow us on Snapchat at the Monarch Experience Podcast. You can follow us on TikTok at Monarch XP. And you can follow us on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it on at the Monarch XP. All right. Without further ado, let's get right into it. We're talking tradition. We're talking family. We're talking baseball right here on the Monarch Experience Podcast.
When are you shaving the beard again?
The opening day.
Nice.
Is it every opening day?
Every opening day, that's my tradition. I'll start growing the beard usually around end of October, early November. I get it to a decent length, and then I can kind of pull on it or braid it. And then it's like Mason's hair, except on my chin. And then I will shave it the night before opening day, basically, so that I come into school and horrify everyone with my.
But are you calling opening day this year for the Soul Series or actual opening day?
Actual opening day, the Thursday. Yeah. All right, let's look at our World Series picks from last year, and let's all have a good laugh about how terribly off we were, because a Monarch Experience tradition, Jeremy, you know, Mason knows, is that
we're never right.
We are I don't think we've ever been right, which is kind of really damaging our credibility 5 years in, where we can't get this thing right just once. I don't even think we've gotten the pennant winners ever.
None of us even had the Diamondbacks making the playoffs last year.
No, maybe one. You got to think one of us has stumbled into picking the Astros at some point.
Wow. Like last year was just a complete miss, a complete wash.
Yeah, what a disaster. So our picks that we have were Astros and Padres, Blue Jays and Braves. Oof. That was like the sexy pick, I think. Was that you, Jeremy, Blue Jays, Braves?
I feel like I was Braves. I think I was Braves Astros.
You were Braves Astros. Mason probably picked Yankees Padres. And then I think I picked the Blue Jays and the Braves. That was like your trendy pick last offseason.
Yeah, the Blue Jays were like the team that you wanted to see win, put it all together.
Well, we didn't want to see it. I mean, we only wanted to see it because of Alejandro Kirk. Which, what a beauty, that guy. Had a down year. Yeah. That's the biggest concern that I have going into this year is, can he be that guy?
Can Kirk bounce back?
I hope he bounces back. He only hit like 250 last year. Like, his home run total was slashed in half. I want to see that joyous ball of a man struggling to run around the bases as fast as his teeny tiny little legs will carry him.
Yep, exactly. That's what baseball is all about right there. Just watching him play.
So let's get into this. Finn, you're a Yankees fan?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got three Yankees fans, two Mets fans, and a lot of lowered expectations this year. So let's chat about this. Let's do Yankees first, because there's more Yankee fans in here than Mets fans. What are our expectations for the Yankees moving forward this year?
So for the Yankees, hopefully it's a big bounce back year. Right now, they have two of the best hitters in baseball with Judge and Soto. And I was looking online, and Soto is actually projected to be an even better hitter than Judge this year.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, the Yankees, we can't really compare them to the Dodgers offseason. But in regard to, like, just the AL, the Yankees did very good improving their roster with Verdugo, Stroman. Honestly, I think the being healthy is one of their biggest opponents this year. And obviously, Cole being hurt now is very unfortunate.
But oh, yeah.
Injuries happen.
Because I'm feeling like this is going to be doom and gloom, where it's going to be 2 months with the elbow, and then June's going to come, and then they're going to shut him down till August, and then he's going to end up getting Tommy John like October 1st, and we're going to be screwed without him next year also.
As a Met fan who's experienced this with DeGrom, never.
Oh, my God. Ended. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is giving you flashbacks probably, right?
Yeah, I'm getting PTSD.
And the Yankees are so damn cryptic with their injury reporting too. where they're like, "Yeah, something with his elbow, but it's not Tommy John. But we won't tell you what. But yeah, he'll be fine, or he's dead. Pray for him."
Yeah, it's the start of a downward spiral. That's hopefully will stop. But I don't know. It's not a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mason, you were saying about Verdugo. I do like the Verdugo signing. I do like. I mean, obviously, what's not to like about Soto? I actually like that Soto is pushed Judge to the three spot, which I feel like we've been like dying to see Judge pushed back in the lineup a little bit more.
Yeah, now Judge is going to be in center, which I don't know if I like, to be honest.
How come?
I don't know. I feel like you need like a quick center fielder. I mean, he's a big guy. I don't know.
Yeah. I thought he played a good center field.
You got Grisham in the Soto deal. Grisham's a very plus defender out there.
Yeah, I think you're going to be moving Judge around a little bit, but I don't love the idea of Judge being out there for 150 games. I don't think he will be, but I don't love that idea of him being out there for 150 games with, like you said, just the wear and tear on his body. I don't know. This lineup is really not doing it for me. Like, once you get past, like, I don't even want to say you're starting, like, your first three, because you got DJ leading off, and DJ is a shell of himself. And then your projected lineup's like, I mean, is Rizzo going to really be pre-concussion Rizzo? Did the concussion really mess him up that badly? Because then the rest of your lineup is like Stanton, Wells. There's a lot of hopes. You're hoping Wells, you know, becomes your everyday catcher. You're hoping Volpe takes that big step forward. And then your rotation, you're hoping Stroman is good. You're hoping Nestor isn't hurt and isn't a fluke. Like, you're hoping Rodon is not a fraud like he was last year. Cole is supposed to be your guarantee, and there's no guarantee. And that is scaring the life out of me this year.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks in your Yankee lineup.
Yeah. Finn, what do you think as the other resident Yankee fan here?
I feel like they're going to be the middle of the pack in the AL East.
Yeah.
With Gerrit Cole out, you can't really tell how good their pitching will be.
Yeah.
As you said, he's like the main guy in that rotation, and he probably won't come back just due to like the injuries.
No, we need some positivity in this room, man. We can't all be doom and gloom. Mason was pretty optimistic. Finn, you're drinking the bad news Kool-Aid too.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be better than the Mets.
That doesn't make me feel better.
That's some positivity.
Well, I think that if the pieces and the hopefulness of like the bottom of the lineup and the pitching comes together, then the team will be really good. But if they aren't, like, if the hopeful, like the Volpe, like if he isn't like amazing, then maybe the Yankees will be like 500.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of jump are you looking forward to see Volpe make? Because I don't think to 208 or whatever he hit last year is really going to be enough from your everyday starting shortstop. I would hope that we start moving that average up a little bit so that the bottom of your lineup, you can strike a little bit of fear in some pitchers' hearts.
Yeah.
Your projected bottom three, Stanton, whatever's left of him when he plays, Austin Wells, and Anthony Volpe is really not making opposing pitchers go, uh-oh.
I think Volpe could take the jump, though, this year. And you also have Spencer Jones, who's had a great spring. He might even break camp with the team, which is crazy to think about.
That would be awesome. I don't know where you're gonna put him.
I mean, you can have him as a fifth outfielder because you gotta imagine Grisham's your fourth right now. He's still a great hitter.
I'm excited to see Spencer Jones. I think that'd be really cool.
He's a good player.
It's kind of the nice thing about there not being too many, like the expectations being tempered, is that you could be excited to see young players come in to see what they can do. And there's kind of not too much, I don't want to say not too much pressure, it's the Yankees, but there's not the expectations. I don't know. I feel like the fan base, the expectations are a lot more realistic now. We shall see. Torres should have a big year still.
Ball games.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we know that Aaron Boone is not married to any set lineup because he basically just scrambles the lineup every single day, which drives me nuts. I can't stand it. But he's just desperately always trying to find whatever matchups are actually going to work. What expectations do you have for your Mets this year?
I'm not optimistic.
I'm
not feeling good. I feel like we'll be around 500 maybe. I think right now Jose Quintana is lined up as their opening day starter with Senga already having like a UCL injury or whatever. I literally wrote in the notes, is there anything to be excited about? But I mean, I guess we have our farm system. I love Jet Williams. He already has the nickname Jet the Met. Francisco Alvarez, Brett Beatty, Vientos, and Mike Vasil. Like, there's obviously some guys there. You're obviously you still have the core of Lindor. You have Nimmo and Pete Alonso, who, please pay Pete Alonso.
That feels like a black cloud hanging over the organization, the fan base, because you got people who were like, no, just get rid of him, see what you could get for him. And then you've got people that are like, no, like, he's a legitimately great player. Pay him. Yeah. Keep him around.
I don't know who wouldn't want him.
30 is not old.
Yeah. Especially in baseball.
Yeah, especially in baseball. Like, he's playing first base. He's like, he's a first baseman. It's not like he's 36 and you're expecting him to play the outfield.
Yeah.
You want to keep him, obviously, right?
Yeah, of course. I can't imagine Pete Alonso not being a Met. That would be such like a slap in the face.
Yeah, it'd be just as weird as imagining Jason DeGrom that as a Met, right?
Yeah, that one was bittersweet. I mean, when the Rangers won the World Series, I was definitely happy that Jake finally got his ring. It was definitely bittersweet.
Oh, yeah. He was on the Rangers.
Yeah, yeah. He pitched like 16 innings, but he got his ring.
Wow, that is quite the way to get a ring.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, thank you for your contribution.
All season, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy. I forgot that he was on the Rangers, which is sad because he was my Cy Young pick in the AL last year. Because I kind of just wanted to stick it to you guys a little bit and be like, yeah he's going to win the Cy Young. Nope, I cursed him to get injured.
That's normally what happens on this podcast.
Yo, yeah. We actually shouldn't talk about it. Let's not talk about Alejandro Kirk. We jinxed him. That's why. That's what happened last year.
Exactly.
Mason Finn, how sad are you to see Severino go across town?
I've always loved Severino.
Me too.
And like, I'm actually hoping he has a bounce back year. I'm hoping he does well this year.
Finn, yeah, you too?
Yeah.
I just felt like the dude just kept getting hurt with that damn lat. Every year it was always the lat, always the lat. And then when he come back and he was healthy for a short stint, he was awesome. And I just felt like we got such a glimmer of the potential that he could have been. And it's crazy to think that, like, all right, it's over. Like, the Severino project's over, and it feels like he just came up not too long ago.
I feel like we should have kept him.
Yeah, I would have been okay with keeping him, but I understand not keeping him because you don't want to tie yourself to him getting injured and being on the hook with him for another few years.
And I think it's also great that we have Edwin Diaz back.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's awesome.
You know, this year we're starting with Yankee fans feeling devastated about the lingering scare of Cole. And we started last year's podcast chatting about the devastation of the World Baseball Classic with Diaz. That's a huge bolster for your bullpen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which I know we finished talking about the Yankees, but we should kind of maybe hop back to their bullpen. Jeremy, I saw you asked a question. You asked, is Clay Holmes that guy? And I keep wondering that every year.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many question marks in the Yankees bullpen. And in the Soto trade, they traded away guys like Michael King. Michael King could have either been their fifth starter or a bullpen piece.
Yeah, King could have been
Johnny Brito, same thing. Yeah. Wandy Peralta. There's just guys that
bullpen pieces that they gave it away.
Yeah. So there's like there's the question marks there. And I feel like the Yankees bullpen, like, will they be good? Will Clay Holmes get it together? Or is he going to have like another like Linsanity run?
Right, or is he going to get it together for a consistent stretch?
Yeah.
Like, that's been the issue with him, where he's dominant for 2 months, All-Star break comes, and then, the wheels fall off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's just weird being a Yankees fan and feeling like, I'm excited because it's baseball and it's spring, but I don't want to get my hopes too high up because it feels like nothing's going to last.
This is the worst I felt in the Steve Cohen era of the Mets.
That's what I was going to ask you guys. As Mets fans, I know Steve Cohen said what world championship within the next?
It's 5 years. We're currently in year 3 or 4.
It, I think it's three. It feels like the 5-year plan now is kind of, there's an extension to it.
Yeah.
Where
it feels like you might come back out and be like, oh, another, give me another three.
Yeah. After the 5 are over, I'm going to need another 3 or another 3 from now. Make it like a 6-year plan.
We weren't really able to sign any too big, like big names in free agency.
Yeah.
Like there was so much studs like Shohei, Yamamoto, a bunch of guys like Glasnow, a bunch of guys like that. And we weren't able to get any of them.
But isn't that kind of a
good – and I think that sucks.
Isn't – yeah, I understand why you'd feel like that sucks. Isn't that kind of a good thing, though, if your roster's not ready to compete to sign these guys to these huge contracts and then you still got to pay Alonzo? And I don't know. Does – if you sign Shohei, does that make you guys a World Series contender?
Well, I think it's good and I think it's good and bad because Steve Cohen could obviously afford the players.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, he doesn't – like, he showed, I think what, it was his first year of owning the team.
Yeah.
He says he doesn't – he said he doesn't care about the luxury tax.
Right.
And he blew straight through with all those – with, like, Scherzer, all everyone like that. And so I think that building a World Series team, it's just getting the players to the Mets. Because I think Steve Cohen isn't afraid to spend the money.
No, I don't think so at all. But I wonder if spending all the money over the last couple of years and then it not – not getting the return that you were hoping for as far as wins. You had your guy with Buck Showalter. That didn't work out. Like, I wonder if now he's almost like trigger shy because not wanting to just keep spending and then have nothing to show for it.
We signed a bunch of like older guys. Like we were like a win now team, but now we're kind of like we're past that where we signed all the old guys. And now we're kind of just like an average team where we're like, our farm system's solid. Yeah. We have a couple of really good pieces, but we're just an average team now.
I definitely see that. Mason, go ahead, get in there.
I don't know if the Mets are really going for it all this year. Just doesn't give me that feeling.
It feels like a bridge year.
It does. It feels like a bridge year. While the Yankees, it feels like another Yankees half-hearted attempt to win a World Series.
Yes. The best like analogy I can think for the Mets is just like it's when you think you're like your NFL team's like almost ready to compete, so you sign like a bridge quarterback. It's like a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
To wait because your championship window like hypothetically should open up next year. So it's just a bridge year. Get on with that year. Go to the offseason and either sign a guy or draft a guy.
Yeah, then you make your big splash then. I think that's a great analogy. And the Yankees kind of feel like that team that's like, well, we haven't gotten worse.
Like the Steelers.
Yeah.
I think the Yankees are like the Steelers. Over 500 every single year, but like nothing to show for it.
Yeah, they're never going to fully tear it down and blow up the team. But to their detriment, they're never picking in the top 10 of a draft. This with the Steelers to be able to get a franchise altering player. Yeah, I think these are good other sport analogies. I like it. All right, so let's start talking about our division winners, where we are apt to usually get this probably mostly right, I would say.
Yeah.
We're usually pretty good with this. Let's start in the NL since we were just talking about the Mets. Let's start with the NL East. Who do you guys got winning the division?
I mean, I feel like this one's pretty obvious. I'm just going to go the Braves. Yeah.
I agree with Jeremy, 100% the Braves. I mean, they have everything. They have a stacked lineup. They've stacked pitching, stacked closing, stacked relievers, pretty good coaching. I mean, I just don't see a way that they lose then at least. Maybe
as long
Phillies
as they don't get hurt,
can make
they'll
a
be
run,
really good.
But...
Yeah, I mean, how much of a threat do you think Philly could be?
I don't think it's just like levels. I think the Braves are just that much better. I think Philly's a great team, but I think the Braves are just that much better. I don't think, besides the Dodgers, I don't think that there's a team better built in baseball.
I'd agree with that.
Like the Phillies will be like a 90-win team, and then the Braves will be like a 100-win team. Like it'll be close, but...
That's a good – so they're going to just beat up on the rest of the division if you're getting 90 wins from them and you're
Nationals,
getting 100.
The Nationals might not win 55 games this year. Yeah. They're going to get beat up on.
Yeah. Well,
somebody has to in that division if you're going to have 190-plus wins between two teams.
Nationals are going to be good in a few years. They have a good core, but they're not ready to compete. The Marlins could be decent. They're not ready to compete.
They usually can. That's usually their ceiling.
Yeah. I don't think the Mets are going to compete for this division. I mean, I think the Phillies are better built for a postseason run just because you have that experience there. They've already beaten the Braves twice in the postseason. So you've seen that, but regular season-wise, 162 games, I think the Braves win more games over the Phillies.
Braves also led the league in almost everything last year, home runs, RBIs, runs, batting average. And I wouldn't be surprised if they did the same exact thing this year.
You got my fantasy baseball stud with Strider.
No.
Yeah.
There's a strikeout
machine. You haven't done your draft yet?
I haven't done my draft yet.
Sorry, Sunday. I'm thinking last year. Yeah, we have we're this Sunday also. Palm Sunday fantasy baseball draft.
Yeah, it's the big day Sunday.
Yeah, the way God intended it. Palm Sunday and then fantasy baseball. All right, let's move on to the NL Central, the division that usually has the winner scraping together 77 wins somehow.
Yeah.
No different than the AL Central, which we'll talk about on the flip side of this. I don't know anything about this division. You guys take it away. I got nothing to say. Finn, let's start with you. Who are you picking?
I have the Cardinals winning it. I mean, the division's not very good. And with Lars Nootbaar and hoping that Nolan Arenado have a good year, I hope they'll win the division.
And you see,
I agree.
You got Goldschmidt on there too, who is, to me, he is like, I know I said Freddie Freeman is the most boring player in baseball. Goldschmidt is like, he's right up there. I see that name when I'm doing fantasy baseball, and I'm like, I'm not picking him in the top 15. Get out of here.
But he puts up great numbers.
He's so
boring. Yeah.
He's so consistent. He's Freddie Freeman.
Yeah. I mean, that's the 2022 MVP right there, Paul Goldschmidt.
I know.
And nobody talks about it.
I know. Right, and it's like, and as soon as you pull up on, like, you Google him, there's like articles that are like, the Cardinals should have traded Paul Goldschmidt. Like there's just no love for this guy at all. Yeah. And he's a MVP removed like what, 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nuts.
I also have the Cardinals. Obviously, it's a very tight division, and I'm hoping that Nolan Arenado has a bounce back season. But the one thing I like about the Cardinals is they have a nice balance of youth and experience, which is something that I think will help them get this division this year.
Yeah, I agree with exactly what Mason said. I'm taking the Cardinals to win the division.
A lot of Cardinal love.
I want to change it up. I like the Cubs.
All right.
I mean, it comes down to managerial decisions. It's like Schilt versus Council. I like Craig Council as a manager better. They stole him from a division rival. Just stole that job. I think the Cubs should have made the playoffs last year. I mean, if you know that play where Seiya Suzuki just didn't catch that line drive. And then I like some of their smaller, like I say smaller because they've gone under the radar, but big contracts to Cody Bellinger. That's a big piece to add back. And Shoto Imanaga from Japan. I think he's a good pitcher.
I wouldn't have minded Bellinger getting signed with the Yankees.
Once you got Verdugo,
I kind of pulled
that one out.
I agree. I think they were – it's like they were trying to go on the cheap again. And they're like, let's go for Verdugo. Same player, just not as good. But that's what we're looking for here on the Yankees.
And just to add to Verdugo, he looks weird without a beard.
Oh, my God. So weird, right?
Yeah.
And like, then, like, on the contrary, I think Bader looks weird with a beard.
Yes.
Now that he's a Met. He looks like a leprechaun.
That this year, instead of laughter when we say funny things, you're just going to hear my emphysema cough. There's some people. Bader has like a baby face.
Yeah.
So he's just like, don't hide the face with a beard. He's a good looking dude. Let your face be. Verdugo, on the other hand, is not a good looking dude at all. He looks very weird. He is so weird looking. He needs to cover that thing with as many types of facial hair that he can possibly find.
His face is like a circle. It's not like an oval.
Yes, it's a perfect circle. There's some guys that just look. Johnny Damon pulled it off fine. I thought he'd look really weird shaving the beard, and he looked okay. He looked fine.
You get used to it. It's just one of those things.
Verdugo's also like super pale too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
an Irish guy.
He looks like he's the perfect Red Sox player.
Yeah. And you I found that trade so weird. You traded with a division rival.
Yeah.
Especially the Yankees, Red Sox.
Yeah. They loved Verdugo so much because Cashman loves trying to show that he's smarter than everybody else. Let's go over to the West. Obviously, I don't even need to look at any of the notes we put. We're all picking the Dodgers.
Yeah.
What's the one thing that you love that you feel like there's so many moves, there's so many players, there's so many things that make their lineup, their rotation so dangerous? I mean, let me question you this. If they don't win the World Series this year,
no matter
what circumstances, it's a bust, right?
Yeah,
100%.
Like, it does not matter who gets injured. Like, it doesn't matter who has a down year, who didn't put it together. Like, right? Like, the Dodgers feel like the team that everything has to go right for them in order for them to make a deep playoff push. And I don't think they can make that excuse this year.
Yeah, it's World Series or bust for them. Every piece is in place.
They're definitely the best team on paper. They just have to perform.
Just stay healthy and you're winning a World Series.
I get, man, when they signed Otani, I was like, okay, whatever. Like, Otani's amazing, but the Yankees were not going to sign him. I just didn't see it happening.
He was always a Dodger.
Yeah. But Yamamoto, I really thought he was going to the Red Sox. I really thought he was going to the Yankees. I thought maybe the Mets were going to make a push for him. And to see him go to the freaking Dodgers, man.
Don the Dodger blue.
Yeah. I mean, like, this lineup is insane.
Yeah,
but Yamamoto has
put Mookie Betts. Apparently Mookie Betts plays shortstop now.
Right,
back to his college days.
Because why not, Xander? Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I think also, but Yamamoto has had an overwhelming spring training. He's gotten lit up a couple of his outings.
Yeah,
I know that. I mean, that should be interesting. I think he's going to be great, but he has been getting shelled a little bit.
This lineup is insane.
Yeah.
When you look at their projected lineup, $1 billion offseason, your lineup is Mookie Betts, Shohei, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, Max Muncy, James Outman, Hernandez, Hayward, and then Gavin Lux hitting ninth.
I mean, Gavin Lux being the worst hitter on your team is crazy,
right? Like that. Like, he's your ninth. He's your ninth hitter,
and Lux is someone that's poised to have a breakout year too.
When are they expecting Shohei to pitch
next year?
I think 2025.
2025. Wait, that's next year. That sounded like eternity away. Right, because he's still recovering from the Tommy John. Is that how much can he still swing a bat with no issues?
Yeah, she's fine. He's cleared.
That's so crazy.
I don't know how he does it. I had a similar injury, and I couldn't touch a bat.
Really?
He's a unicorn.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, speaking about Shohei, his contract that he signed is genius. Like, how he's getting, how he's getting no money for the next, 10 years.
Yeah.
And then he's getting, all the money in 10 years. It's smart. Very smart.
I hope it blows up in their face. I'm here for the disaster. That's what I want to see. Smart move, and I want to see the whole thing be a disaster for them.
Yeah.
If I can't have any nice things as a Yankee fan, if I can't have nice things, I don't want anyone else to have nice things either.
Yep.
Just pray on the Dodgers' downfall.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to hope that the Diamondbacks or some unassuming team just keeps making pushes to the World Series and winning so that everyone could go oh, that's kind of cute. No one's going to be mad at the Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks are a good ball club too, just nowhere near the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I think the Diamondbacks making the World Series last year was because of how bad the playoffs, how the seeding is, how it runs. with like the first two teams with the two highest seeds having buys, and in baseball buys are terrible, and then like yes. Diamondbacks having a pretty easy run to the World Series.
You get to save arms.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. And when you're playing 162 games in a season, you want days off.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just they're not executing. It's just these teams aren't executing with the buys.
Yeah, right.
But then on the
flip of it,
you aren't facing 100 miles per hour every single day. So like the Dodgers and the Dodgers last year when they came off the bye in the playoffs, they were struggling to hit because they were just off.
You know what the Dodgers remind me of in the playoffs? Just to make another football analogy, the Dodgers remind me of the 2000s Colts, where they would just decimate teams every year, 14-2, 13-3, and they would just decimate teams. Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Dallas Clark, Manning. Like Peyton Manning, obviously. You've got like legendary coach. Like it just ended up with Tony Dungy, like, and Dwight Freeney, Bob Sanders at safety, and then they would get beat. They'd have their first round bye. They would be rested, and then they would come out and they would just get completely destroyed by some team that was not better than them usually, unless it was the Patriots. And that's kind of what the Dodgers remind me of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's flip over to the AL. Let's talk about the AL East. And I know we were kind of a little bit shy or sheepish with the Yankees. Finn, who are you picking out of the AL East?
A little bit of favoritism, but I want the Yankees to win. But I feel like the Orioles are just going to, like, overpower them.
I'm seeing a lot of Orioles picks. What do you like about the Orioles this year?
I like how young, like, their main players are with, like, Jackson Holliday and Adley Rutschman. I think they're both going to have really good seasons. And they also picked up good guys on the offseason.
The Burns signing was that was the crazy one that kind of made me start to fear them quite a bit.
It
was random too. I never thought he would be an Oriole.
I thought so too. And when it was like Orioles sign him, I had to keep looking at it because I'm like, no, the Orioles don't sign guys. Like they don't make these big splashes in the offseason. That's supposed to be us. Nuts. Are we all picking the Orioles?
Yeah, I have the Orioles.
Yeah, I'm picking them.
Wow. I think the Blue Jays from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
I've been waiting for the Orioles like farm system to finally come to light. They have some like great studs. And I like watching Jackson Holliday and Paul Skenes face off, that was a really cool watch. So I'm looking forward to see what Holliday does this year.
I do really like Cedric Mullins. Like, of all the players,
he's just a likable player.
He's just so likable.
He's one of those guys, like, who doesn't like Cedric Mullins? Like, he's like a Kirk.
Yeah. Yeah. he's got a little bit of a different body type than Kirk.
Yeah, just a little bit. One of them's a little bit faster.
Yeah, he's got longer legs, I would say, but that's probably it. Cedric Mullins is 5'9". I think Cedric Kirk is like 4'9".
And that's why we love the sport of baseball. These both them can play it.
Because anybody can play it. It doesn't matter how it looks. The results are still beautiful either way. Yeah, it's a really big struggle. I think he hit like 230 or something like that.
But this is an Orioles team that still won 100 games last year.
I know.
People don't credit them. This young Orioles team won 100 games. Kyle Bradish, who nobody's heard of before last year. I'll even admit, I'm the baseball nerd, and I didn't hear about Kyle Bradish. He had like a 2.3 ERA last year. I mean, it sucks. He's dealing with some arm injuries right now. He's going to start the season on the IL. But he's a stud. Grayson Rodriguez, who I really expect to break out this year. I think this is his time to break out, who I thought was going to be the ace of the staff before they got Corbin Burns. I think this is a good team.
I just think it's crazy how the Orioles were managed to flip a team. Like, I think it was 3 years ago where they were dead last, the worst team in baseball.
Yeah.
And now they're just this super team and it's because of their farm system. It's not because of free agents.
It was unexpected.
I think it's just super impressive by the Orioles organization that they've been able to make a roster like this.
Are we done with the Blue Jays now? I like how they were like the team that was supposed to be like trending upward 2 years ago, and now it just feels like everyone's kind of like, meh, Blue Jays, I'm done with them.
I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is going to have a breakout year, however. I think everyone's saying like this year's his year for the past since he's been in the league. I think this year is his real year that will break out and become an MVP candidate. And I'll go that far. I think he'll be really good.
I mean, breakout year is it's quite an interesting phrase to use for a guy who's a three-time All-Star home run derby champ.
Xander, who hit
48 home runs in 2021.
I mean, the next step to become like unstoppable.
What 48 home runs? What do you do to become unstoppable? The guy hit 311 that year. He hit 311, okay, and he only struck out 100 times.
Yeah, I feel like he's already broken out.
Xander, what more do you want? Why do you hate Vlad Jr.? Why do you hate Vlad Guerrero Jr. so much?
I think he's looking for the bounce back season. I think that's what he meant.
Last year.
That's what I meant.
I think that's fair. Like I'm on all baseball reference. 26 home runs, 94 RBIs. Still nothing to like, you know, roll your eyes at. But
it's down.
264 average is basically the pretty much the lowest he's had. Lowest he's had as a full time starter. And still made the All-Star game.
Yeah, he's a great ball player.
Vlad Jr. is going to hit – he's going to break the home run record. He's going to drive in 215 RBIs. His batting average is going to be 375. He's going to be like Murderer's Row-style stats where you're like, how do you drive in 190 guys? I don't understand this. And Vlad's just going to – Vlad, Xander's just going to be there and go, I don't know. Not that good. Could be better. Maybe he'll break out next year. No, I think bounce back. I think Vlad Guerrero with a bounce back year is quite frightening. But yeah, I agree with Jeremy. The Blue Jays don't scare me anymore, and obviously the Red Sox are.
Pressure's made for tires. What? That was Manoah's quote.
Oh.
Who is that for the Blue Jays?
Yeah, that was what Alek Manoah said, and then in his next start, got lit up for 7 runs in the first inning and got sent down to the minors. I had Manoah on my fantasy team last year.
Pressure is made for tires. AL Central is our next division, which is the least exciting division in baseball.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, it's just kind of, I don't know, there's just nothing about any of these teams that I tend to really gravitate towards. Let's make our picks. Jeremy, who are you picking?
I don't know why. I just have a feeling. I just like the Royals this year to shock the world. I mean, you see Bobby Witt's massive extension, 11 years, $288 million.
He's awesome.
I mean, when you see their ace, Cole Reagans, best mustache in baseball. How can you not love this mustache? I think he's poised for a breakout year. You have an experienced staff with Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, Brady Singer and Jordan Lyles. Jordan Lyles eats up innings like crazy. And then I'm big on Nelson Velasquez and Michael Garcia, who are two guys none of you guys probably have heard of. But no. I like them. I don't know why. I just like the Royals this year.
That is a clean mustache for Cole Reagans.
It is a very nice mustache.
Yeah, that's a clean mustache. It's good.
Sharp. Yeah.
Very sharp.
I'm a little afraid that this is going to be one of my takes that comes back to haunt me when the Royals win 70 games. But
I think 70 is generous.
Wow. Well, there's always got to be one kind of wild pick out there. And all right, it's the Royals for Jeremy. Mason, who are you picking out of the AL Central?
I got the Twins. Strong pitching and a good mix of, you know, the veteran and the young talent. But I think one of the most important things for them is Carlos Correa and Brian Buxton just need to stay healthy. You know, like Buxton got hurt last year. That was a big hit on the team.
Well, that's good, because if the Twins win the division and then the Yankees make the playoffs, we know we'll beat them. So I'll take it. Finn, who do you got in the division?
I don't really know anything about this division, so the only reason
nobody
I'm saying
does
this is that last year I toured the Kansas City Royals like thing, so it's kind of favoritism. So I kind of want them to win.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I watched Bobby Witt play. He's pretty good.
What'd you think of the stadium?
Oh, it's really nice.
Stadium is awesome there.
Yeah, it's right next to the Chiefs one too.
It's so weird. They share a parking lot. It's so weird though, seeing a stadium that basically has like no outfield seating. Like everything is essentially
it's the water fountains.
Yeah, it's their waterfall.
It's the waterfall.
That's Boston right there.
Like the waterfall is beautiful, but like I remember being in it and I'm like, this is so different than any other stadium because there's basically no place to sit where you could heckle an outfielder.
I'm just glad I'm able to root for the Royals again now that everyone on their championship rosters now the team besides Salvador Perez.
Yeah, you're over it now.
That haunts me. I hate Eric Hosmer because of that.
Mm.
That Lucas Duda throw, the Alcides Escobar first pitch of the World Series. I have so many bad memories from that 2015 series that still haunt me to this day, 9 years later.
Yeah, yeah. That'll do it for you. Xander, did we get your pick?
I think the Twins will win the division. I don't know much about the AL Central. All I know is that they suck.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the Twins.
I agree. All right, AL West. Let's roll through this pretty quickly.
I got the Astros. They have a pretty good lineup with Altuve and Alvarez, Bregman, and Peña. And I think Verlander shouldn't be out too long with his offseason shoulder issues, but I think the Astros will pull through, as much as I hate to say it.
Yeah, I know. Me too. They've kind of, in a way, overtaken my hatred for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Just because of recent memory, the Red Sox have not ripped our hearts out. I mean, they beat. Yeah, they beat us in the playoffs that one year, but they were just a way better team. But it's just the way that we've lost to the Astros has been way more damaging to my mental health. Finn, who are you taking out of the AL West?
It hurts me to say as a Yankees fan, but the Astros as well.
Yeah.
Just because of how electric like Bregman and Altuve are.
Yeah.
And I'm not hoping Verlander comes back, but like if he does, I'm guessing he'll be good.
Yeah, every single time we're like, he's old. He comes back and he's totally fine, unless he plays on the Mets. Xander, who are you taking out of the AL West?
I think the Rangers are going to win, but I think it's going to come down to what happened last year, the final series, like the last series. I think it's going to be another one of those where it's two teams that are both very good, and it's just going to come down to the wire. I think the Rangers will pull out, though.
And DeGrom is going to end up being World Series MVP.
If he says so.
If he's bad.
We'll see if he makes it to the World Series. He might need another Tommy John.
Yeah. Man, that guy gets Tommy Johns like left and right. Jeremy, did you make your pick for the AL West?
I'm Stros. I think it's close. Same reasons as everyone else. I like Langford and Carter for the Rangers, but I just think the Astros lineup's better, and they brought in Josh Hader.
Awesome. All right. We got our division picks. I think this is the harder of all the predictions that we make. Divisions, World Series picks. I would be curious to go back.
I agree. We always mess these ones up.
Yeah, because you're picking an individual player out of how many players, and it's just so difficult. But we like to do this anyway, so let's do it regardless. Let's make our AL MVP predictions. I'm just going to go in order on how you guys are lined up on my screen. Finn, who's your AL MVP prediction?
This is complete favoritism, but Aaron Judge or Juan Soto.
Love it. You know what? Why not both of them? Co-MVPs on the same team. Perfect. Jeremy, who's your AL MVP pick?
I got to stay with the Royals, Bobby Witt.
Ah, I like it. You're consistent. Yeah. Xander, what about you?
I'm taking Adley Rutschman.
Okay. Mason?
Oh, my God. Julio Rodriguez.
All right. All right. NL MVP. We'll snake backwards. Mason?
I think Ronald Acuna is going to go back-to-back. Why not?
Oh, my goodness. Could you imagine? When was the last player who went back-to-back?
I think Cabrera.
Oh, my God. Cabrera in 12 and 13 was a force.
Yeah, his triple crown.
Oh, my God. Insane.
That's the baseball that I fell in love watching.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Oh, that there's nothing that will – those players, dude, in 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, are going to be the players that like you compare every player that you're currently watching to. Like, oh, he's almost as good as – or, man.
Yeah, I get to tell my kids about how I got to watch that Miguel Cabrera's 2013 season.
Yeah.
I think Miguel Cabrera will turn into someone like Frank Thomas. Because my dad loved Frank Thomas and he always talks about it. And I think I'm gonna talk about my kids about Miguel Cabrera.
I agree with that. I totally follow with what you're saying.
It's a household name in Detroit.
Yes, yeah. Xander, who are you picking for NL MVP?
I also have Ronald Acuna Jr. going back-to-back.
Okay. Love this. Jeremy?
I think it's Tatis's time, finally. Tatis Jr.
Tatis time.
I wanted to change it up a little bit. And all right. I think this will be his first full season. No PEDs.
True.
No injuries.
Let's see him put it all together. Finn, what about you? NL MVP?
Either Shohei or Acuna.
Great picks. Cy Young predictions. Let's go AL first. Finn, we're going to snake backwards again.
I want Corbin Burns, I feel like. Just because he's on that young team, he's going to be the main guy.
Orioles are young. It's kind of hard to hate them because they haven't broken our hearts yet as Yankees fans. But, be careful. Be careful what you get excited by within the division. Jeremy, what about you? AL MVP. AL Cy Young.
I think I'm picking the same guy as last year, Kevin Gausman.
Okay.
And then I gotta give some love to Cole Reagans down there.
Nice. That mustache, right? Yep. That mustache is an MVP kind of mustache.
Yeah, exactly.
Xander, who are you picking AL Cy Young?
I'm pairing up my MVP, my AL MVP with my AL Cy Young, Corbin Burns.
Ooh, all right. I like these pairs that we're making. It's a very fitting for this episode with pairs of brothers. Mason, what about you?
I also have Corbin Burns.
All right. Let's go AL. Let's change this up a tiny bit. Let's go your AL and your NL Rookie of the Year predictions. Mason, AL and then NL Rookie of the Year predictions. Who you got?
For the AL, I have Jackson Holliday. I just think he's really exciting. And then NL, I'm going with Paul Skenes, so it's kind of funny because we just talked about their preseason matchup.
Nice. I don't know. I'm not going to know any of these names. This is why I love this podcast too. I get to learn about so many guys that I can try to snag in my fantasy baseball draft.
I'll help you in the later rounds.
Yeah, I'll be messaging you guys as I'm drafting on Palm Sunday. Who do I go with? Or I'll be pulling up this doc. It wouldn't be the first year that I've done it. Xander, who are you taking AL, NL, Rookie of the Years?
In the AL, I'm going Jackson Holliday. He's exciting. Very good player.
Okay.
And I'm going Yamamoto in the NL.
Okay. I like it.
He's good at baseball.
Jeremy, what about you?
I think this one's so up in the air. But I feel like Wyatt Langford, I think he's going to break camp with the Rangers, and I think he's a future five-tool player. And then NL, I have Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I mean, who else could it be?
Yeah.
I also wanted to say watch out for Jackson Chirio. It's like the year of the Jacksons, three Jacksons in the top 20 prospects of Baseball America, and all three of them should break camp with the team.
All right. I love this. Finn, AL, NL, Rookie of the Year picks.
For the AL, I also have Jackson Holliday. He's hitting really good with, I think, 340 ABs. And then for NL, I also have Yamamoto.
Amazing. All right. And now the moment we've all been waiting for, our World Series picks. Jeremy, you didn't pick two different World Series picks. You usually pick here's my A selection, and then here's my wild, out there It's going to be the Twins.
Oh, it's going to be the Rose. It's the Rose this year.
You're going okay. So go ahead, lead us, start us off. Who's your
So my crazy one. I mean, I just have to go with my two,
Seattle a couple years ago.
Yeah, my two Central Division winners. I got Royals Cubs. Not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. But I love to just put that idea out there. But I think realistically, I can't imagine how the Dodgers don't get there.
Yeah,
maybe the Braves, and I have like Dodgers, Rangers, Dodgers, Orioles, Braves, Rangers. I feel like there's only four or five teams that I could realistically see playing baseball in late October right now.
Well, I think with the juggernaut that the Dodgers are going to be, like, they are just going to decimate a lot of teams. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have a very top heavy NL. Exactly. Okay, Finn, who are you picking?
With how stacked the Dodgers are, they're probably going to be the main contender, and then the Orioles or the Yankees, depending on how Cole comes back.
Oh, we're jumping on the Oriole train here. It sounds like you guys are they are the Blue Jays from 2 years ago. I hate to say it, but they're going to the World Series.
At least the Orioles have proven it. They've won 100 games.
Yeah,
the Jays. We were just picking the Jays because they on paper had incredible roster.
Okay, that's fair. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Orioles so approving it.
Yeah. All right. Down with the Blue Jays. That Vlad Guerrero, he sucks anyway. He's no Alejandro Kirk, that's for sure. He needs to have a year like Alejandro Kirk. That's the bounce back here.
Guerrero and the rest of that lineup just in Kirk's shadows, pretty much.
When Alejandro Kirk retires, we're gonna get him on the podcast every year. He'll be our guest superstar, and we will be polite to him, and we will not body shame him. And we will mention nothing about his height or his rotund shape.
Only talking about his baseball playing abilities.
Absolutely. And we're just going to be giggling. Xander, who's your World Series pick?
So I'm going to piggyback off of what Jeremy said. I think there's really only 4 to 5 teams that are going to be able to compete for the World Series.
I agree with that, too.
But from there, I think Braves against the Orioles. World Series.
All right. Braves versus the Orioles. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Bold, not no picking the Dodgers.
No Dodgers.
I think super
teams always fail.
I agree with you, man. It's so rare that the super team, especially in baseball, like just goes straight to the World Series and decimates.
Yeah.
If I'm going to make my comparison to the Colts in the 2000s of being the 14-2 super team that runs through everybody, rests up, and then gets blown out in that first round, I've got to agree with you and say same thing's going to happen. Mason, World Series picks. You're breaking my heart here, though, because this is the first year.
I know.
He's changed.
I know. So I have two picks, Dodgers, Orioles. Hard to say that the Dodgers won't make it all the way. And it's a very sad time because this is my first year, I believe, that I haven't picked the Yankees in my World Series prediction. I just don't feel confident enough to have the Yankees in it, you know?
And every year, no matter how things look, you always have picked the Yankees, which you know
this
what that
is
means.
This is the year they win it.
This is the year they win it, yeah. Or
no jinx.
Yeah, or this is the year basically that Mason becomes a hardened, disgruntled Yankees fan where he realizes that this is not, you know, his parents' Yankees anymore. And it's a sad reality, man. And this is always such a joy to get to do this with you guys. I love that we've expanded it. I love that Jeremy and Mason, you guys are still willing to do this 4 years, 5 years later, of course, to support a fellow podcaster and fellow baseball fan.
You're the one that inspired me.
That's
you're
awesome.
Reason,
well, dude,
the reason why I have my baseball podcast.
I love it. What's your podcast called?
It's Stroll Onto the Field on Apple Podcasts.
That's an awesome name. Have you gotten it yet?
I got to give some credit to my mom.
Your mom came up with the name?
Yeah, I got to give some credit to my mom. She was the one that came up with the idea. Just Stroll Onto the Field.
That's a good name, dude. That's an awesome name. Have you gotten Mason on yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I guess not. You haven't gotten Mason on. You got to get Mason on.
Yeah,
though.
I got to get Mason on. I got you on too.
You should be more than happy to. You should get Mr. Bierce on. He'd love to do it.
Oh, yeah. I haven't
give you a little bit of credibility too.
Yeah,
right? Give you a little bit of credibility. You got a former MLB player.
Since my middle school baseball days, I haven't seen him.
Great job as always. Until next time, stay safe, stay hungry.